I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
Scott O, I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Egypt's Great Pyramid, the most intensely studied and hotly debated structure on Earth, is not just a monument. It is a living symbol. The pyramid represents us as spiritually pure beings in a perfect state of mind and body. What's the Great Pyramid? It is a God becoming... I didn't get that. Does that make sense? What is the Great Pyramid? It is a God becoming. The pyramid is you in stone. The website is www.dreamingthepyramid.net.
Dreaming the pyramid?
Dreaming
the pyramid.
Pyramid.
You said period. .net.
No,
I thought you said period.
What
are
you
pyramid.
What are you thinking?
No, dreaming the pyramid.
Oh, shut up, Amber.
Okay, the one thing I did screw up, I take.
All right. I'll take. Send
but
all
this
the hits my way.
I'll take. Dreaming the pyramid.
Now we destroyed that. Hey, welcome to the show, Stefan. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. I was just thinking there might be a lot of women in the world that might kind of agree with that. They might want to dream the period after all.
We may be one of those aliases for the website now.
No, your website.
That was the most original introduction I've had in years.
We usually flub it up somehow.
Yeah, well, that was a... Well, that
Leave
was
my, me in charge.
No, that was my fault. I'm the one that just threw the monkey wrench into that one, so I'll take the hits for that. That's perfectly fine. This is a really interesting subject, though, because I've heard, you know, we talked about this, it's very topical, because we were just talking about the pyramid a few minutes ago with Karen Tate. We were talking about how this is, like, this is the number one power center on the planet as far as, you know, monuments are concerned. People have been arguing about the Great Pyramid for
right.
years.
When was it built? Who was it built by? What does it do? What was it function?
Yeah.
You know, is it alien? Is it, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And some of the most intense stuff is when was it built? Because there's the hard line and then there's
the fringe aspects of it.
You know, so there's like all this study being done on the Great Pyramid, and evidently the pyramid is us in stone. So, Stefan,
what is dreaming the pyramid?
Yeah.
Let's get started with that.
You know, guys, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. I really enjoy every radio interview, and I can tell right off the bat we're going to have a great time here.
Good.
Yeah, let's see if you feel that same way in a half an hour.
At the other end of it all, right? Well, basically, guys, all it is Dream the Pyramid, what it is that it's the KISS formula applied to the pyramid. I don't have a degree in anything, actually. I've only got 1 year post-secondary education. All my education is qualified by experience, by traveling around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that it takes a pyramid and looks at it as a symbol, as an artist would look at it. So I don't have a degree in engineering or architecture or Egyptology or archaeology or anything. So I'm pretty completely unbiased on the whole thing. And the way that it came to me is through a series of dreams when I was 22, 23.
Okay. So, these dreams, I mean, this is how it came to you. What information did they give you? I mean, like, what's the meat of this, I guess?
Well, there was one starting point. Around 18 years old, I picked up a book on astrology, and I learned about the astrological signs and their elements, you know, earth, air, water, and fire, and, of course, there's three signs within each element.
Okay.
And the first dream that I had concerning the pyramid was that I found myself in the valley, and off to my right, there was a being, I'm going to say a person, because that's what he was, or she, I'm not sure. And they felt like they were a lot taller than me, and I'm already 6 foot tall, so they felt like they were around 7.5 to 8 feet tall.
Okay.
Mass. And walking in this valley, and we're in a construction site, or what looks like a construction site, and there's this huge building on the side of our to our right. And all of a sudden in my dream, I zoom out, and I realize I'm in a valley where there's this huge pyramid, and each side of that pyramid contains three huge signs painted or embedded or whatever you want to call it on the sides, one for each corner. So then later on, when I woke up from that dream, a few days later, I guess, I was playing around with astrology and the signs themselves and rearranging them. And I found that when you put the astrological signs in chronological order, the same way as they appear during the year, and you know, one for every month, and you link up each sign within each element within each other, you get what you get is a 12-pointed star, basically four perfectly equilateral triangles.
Okay.
And you take each one of those four triangles and lean them up against each other, and bang, you get a pyramid with the exact same angles as that of the pyramid in Egypt, 51 degrees between the apex and the base, that angle.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. So then from there on, once I realized that, well, you know, humans can be born into one of the 12 signs, I figured, well, if the pyramid contains 12 signs, as well as the four elements, since, you know, contains astrology, maybe it's us. And then from there, I just gradually began aggressively looking for other ways in which the pyramid represented us, and aided through dreams and visions, I guess, and a lot of research and asking elders.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm also Native American, so when I talk about elders, I'm talking about elders in that perspective, from my own reservation as well as my own community.
Now, dreaming the pyramid, have you physically been to Egypt yet?
No, people just ask me, you know, have you ever been to Egypt? And I said, no, and Egypt came to me. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. I wrote the book when I was 25, and I finished it by the time I was 28, although it's been through a complete rewrite since then.
Uh-huh.
And people say, you must be burning inside to go see the pyramid. Well, I don't know. Like, ever since I discovered for myself personally, I can't speak for other people, but for myself personally, ever since I discovered that the pyramid is us, I hate to say this because I know it's going to insult some people, I just feel like the better subject of study is ourselves.
Well, okay. I don't think that's going to offend anybody.
I think it's logical.
I think it's very logical. Yeah.
Well,
I
don't know. It's kind of an original take on the pyramid, and it does kick some people off. People ask me if it's fiction or nonfiction. I tell them, well, it's friction. it's going to either rub you the right way or it's going to, you know, really rub you off. So that's what it is.
Like we said a few minutes ago, I'm sure you've either been part of this or you've witnessed it yourself. The pyramid, the Great Pyramid, the antiquities there in Egypt, it's a firestorm. For the last 20 years especially, it's been a real firestorm of debating back and forth and people fighting. We've had people on here in the past who had alternative, theories on how old the pyramids were, and they were completely ostracized from Egypt itself. I mean, from the country, from the plateau. I mean, these people.
And let's not name any names.
No, I won't name any names, but, you know, they're not hard to find either, right?
No, they're not hard at all, that's for sure.
But they had, you know, different ideas, and the thing that really kind of grinds my nerves on that is they weren't just coming there with going, yeah, so I passed out and I drooled there and I got this idea. You know, no, it was like they had hard numbers. They had scientific numbers to show these things with and illustrate their point. You know, not that that's
but
everything.
If that goes against the the current accepted regime is or whatever, it you're ostracized. And that's why it doesn't matter if they just thunk it up or if they went there with here's my test tube vials and this proves. one thing, and then if it goes against, the thinking, then boom, they're on the outs. And that's how it always works with, especially with the Great Pyramid and the pyramids.
Well,
so,
yeah, you know, well,
so that's why I can believe, that this idea I can see advantages to them accepting this kind of idea, that the pyramid is a living symbol of all of us. And taking that and saying, of course, some people would be saying, my people knew this way back then,
You know what, Doug? This is Doug I'm talking to.
Yes, I'm Doug.
I think they did know it back then.
Well, and I think so too. I mean, after I heard you describe it, I think that they, because it sounds to me like you were dreaming back in time. You were, you know, sent back there and shown that vision, and then had to work to understand it. That's what I got out of, you know, you telling us about dreaming the pyramids. So you worked and you understood what those images were, you know, what that fellow, the tall fellow, was showing you and trying to teach you, and you understood it, and you came to this realization. And I'm thinking that he was probably showing you historically, hey, look, they did know this, and they're working on this. I mean, this is what they did. And
this raises the point also, just to briefly interrupt here, that Egypt isn't even the only place, of course, that has pyramids. They're everywhere in the world now.
Yeah, right. As a matter of fact, they just found another one in South America.
We were just talking about that a second ago, the last half hour.
They took satellite imagery.
Is this Australia?
In South America.
South America.
Oh,
and
okay.
They took satellite imagery, only this was, this tells you the relative temperature of the things on the surface of the earth and below the surface of the earth, not just a picture. It was like a temperature, like a thermograph kind of thing. And it clearly shows a pyramid, a humongous pyramid and a plaza. But the problem is, to get to it, it's not physically hard to get to. Like, you could drop, you know, from an airplane, or not an airplane, a helicopter, to physically get to it. But, I mean, you would then have to dig, because it's under literally, you know, thousands of years of dead vegetation now. So, so.
Well, we'll send in Sam Fisher with a couple of scientists.
Right, right, and have him dig it out real quick. And I'm telling you, it is. But it's really an interesting, interesting thing. They found yet another pyramid, and so there's, you know, the Mayan pyramids, the Aztec pyramids, the Egyptian pyramids. There's even like a pyramid here in Michigan, but we don't know.
The Ontonagon pyramid.
Yeah,
so
we've got these, you know, these pyramids throughout the world, and I wonder, did all pyramid builders know this, or was the Great Pyramid pretty much the, you know, like the, because it's lasted forever. Is that like the one that was built with the symbology and meaning it is, you know, part of us, or we are part of it?
Well, here comes another
I like the heavy stuff.
Acidic statement. really, when it comes to it, if the pyramid was built to represent us, if it was designed to represent us in a perfect state, then any pyramid in the world built by people that have that same knowledge, probably, I think all pyramids are essentially equal, whether they're 3 inches tall or 480 feet tall, like the pyramid itself.
Yeah, so they all essentially have the same power then, no matter what size they are.
Yeah, and maybe the builders within each country each have their own personal perspective on that knowledge. Like, for instance, a lot of people ask me, well, do you think this is the truth, what you've got on your website? No, I don't even care about truth, I tell them. I can't handle the truth. As a human being with a finite mind and a finite comprehension, and, you know, I don't have a huge education, and I'm not prepared to handle the truth. But what I do ask for, usually on a daily basis, is some sort of perspective or an understanding that I can handle in the meanwhile.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think that, you know, like you, I mean, right around what you just said, I don't think you have to have 20 years of schooling behind you to ask these questions either, especially about the pyramid.
No, exactly.
Because, you know, like I said, there, even with any of the people that have brought evidence in that said, this is different, that's different, I mean, yeah, there's always going to be somebody that's going to shoot something down. So there is no be-all, end-all, and people from all different walks of life have brought ideas ahead as far as the origins of the pyramid or whatever it may be, right? So, I mean, I don't think you have to have all this schooling behind you to ask these questions. And, you know, I think that's what a lot of the basis is with the politics, I think, in the antiquities of Egypt.
Well, in this day and age where everything seems to be crumbling apart, the more perspectives we can get, the better. I think we can agree on that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah. I think that's a big part. I mean, no matter who you are, the question should be asked. Now, I don't know. It seems like we may have touched on this, you know, in a roundabout way. We got a couple minutes before we go to break. What do you think the pyramid tells us in relation to our origins and purpose, I guess, as far as that was my, I pushed the button. Our origins and purpose as far as, I guess, why, you know, what our purpose is here. What information have you received on that, Stefan?
Well, objectively speaking, we're the only species out of 25 other million or so that has been able to do what we're doing now, like going into space. Other animals go into space, but they're involved in it because we're putting them up there in space, like chimps and stuff like that.
Right.
But we're the only ones that are able to do all that we're doing. So what that does is that it puts the question in our mind, if the pyramid is built to represent us in our perfect state, is it us as we're becoming, or is it us as we once were, or is it both?
Oh.
When they describe that fall in the Bible, are they talking about a fall from a state that we had perfect knowledge? Or are they talking about something else? I mean, personally, my own personal thoughts are, I don't think the technology that we have surrounding today is new. I think it's simply being reinvented or remembered.
And I've heard
that
too. Sorry? Well, I've heard that also. I mean, in relation to Egypt, you know, the obvious one that's always good for a conversation is that there are hieroglyphics, they say, that look just like helicopters and jets and
right.
things like that.
Right.
Of today. Not, you know,
yeah.
of then.
Temple of Seti in the Valley in Abydos. Valley of the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty fascinating stuff. So rather than being just caretakers, like how a lot of ecologists and environmentalists say, like, heck, maybe we actually had a hand in actually helping to create this place to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think a lot of the stuff, we've been told this too, as far as, you know, the inventions we have today, a lot, there's been always been this argument where things have been backwards engineered, more or less, that we are, well, I don't know if I want to push that far out into the UFO genre, but there is.
I don't think any avenue is best unexplored. I mean, let's explore all of them.
Yeah. Well, that's always been a theory, or, you know, I don't want to call it a conspiracy theory, that there's technology out there that's way beyond even the stuff, you know, the computer we're sitting in front of right now. All these things we have, that there's technology that just eclipses that, you know, 10 times over, that we've never even, that is in possession of certain people, I guess, or agencies, whatever you want to call them, that just are not really, you know, released to us, or they're there, but they still have to be backwards engineered. They're being backwards engineered. There's all these ideas about this as far as, you know, what we have and the technologies we have on this planet. So, you know, I think that the Egyptians did. I mean, just based on those cave, you know, the hieroglyphics we were talking about a second ago, they may have been, they were making batteries back then. That was a big one too. I don't know if you've heard of that before, Stefan. They have these, the rooms of these old batteries, canisters that were the same components that we use for our batteries nowadays. So they worked.
I mean, they didn't give you much power, but they were
style Leyden jars, is that right?
Yes, they were jars with an acid in it, and two different metals, and there you go, you've got a battery. And I wonder what, they obviously, I don't know, did they have light bulbs? I mean, what did they do with this electricity? But it was definitely electricity at the point.
Well, the UFO thing was very topical, I guess, because we have a question in the chat room, Stefan.
Sure.
It was something we were going to mention anyways, but hey, I'm glad somebody asked about it. You've written a few articles on Blossom Goodchild.
Oh boy, here we go.
we got a few minutes for a break. How do you feel about her upcoming UFO prediction for the October 14th? And this is what was asked in the chat room also, too. So, shoot, Stefan, I'm curious to hear about this, too.
Here's my opinion, guys. Okay. First of all, I'm healthily skeptical on the whole thing. I'm 50-50.
Okay.
And when I say that, I wish it for it to happen. I want it to happen. Will it happen? I'm not sure.
Okay.
The other thing is that, let's take two scenarios here. Let's run with it. Let's say that a huge ship were to come to Earth unannounced, such as in a message like this. What would be total reaction? I think it would be panic, pandemonium worldwide, especially if it were to occur like an Independence Day style, right?
Well, yeah. If they out of nowhere, we have to have ships come, you know, hello.
Yeah.
It's going to make people a bit nervous. I mean, I'll be nervous. I won't be coming out of the house.
Yeah. Now, the other scenario, of course, is that let's say governments worldwide received the message, confirmed it, and then they told the people before it happened. You got the same scenario, panic worldwide for sure. Certainly reason enough to deploy your military units everywhere around the world.
Okay.
So what's in between those two situations? If extraterrestrials exist and if they are coming here one day, then the message, in my opinion, would pretty much need to be pre-announced. But how would you pre-announce it without causing a panic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now it's not causing a panic. It's causing a commotion, but it's not causing a panic. My personal opinion is that it needs to occur one day. I'm not a big fan of the savior type element, but I do like the idea of mentorship and inspiration. And if they show up, you know, you can take like 100 of the most intelligent people on the planet, put them in a room together, and I can pretty much guarantee that most of those people are going to be pretty nonviolent. So if you want to take that idea further and put a few hundred or a few thousand or even a million years of evolution behind that, well, chances are you're looking at beings that if they've been here for hundreds of thousands of years already watching us, it makes sense that they'd be coming in at some point, especially when we're ready for it. We're at a crossroads in every area I can think of.
So, wow, so 50-50 on that. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you see, what I've always said about the UFO thing, we got a couple minutes before we go to break here, but I said this years ago on this show. I specifically said when we were having some UFO conversation, and I said, if the president was to come on TV and give another one of his bumbling speeches like he normally does, but one of the things he says is, okay, look, I need to level with you guys. Here's the story. All right, UFOs exist. Here's the proof. Here's what's going on. Here's all the information. I believe, just like you would, you do, Stefan, that there would be worldwide panic. People could just not handle something like that thrown in their faces. Any huge thing like that, right? Now, my personal opinion is if it's leaked out little by little by little, right? In small little increments, those are much easier to swallow, right? Just little. Well, we found this document. Oh, well, we heard about this thing. Or we have this person that come out, right? Over years, decades, right? You'd have this whole hunk of just this huge piece of evidence sitting in front of you that's been gradually leaked out over the years, right? So I think that would be the way to go with it, but I don't know. I don't even see that happening, to tell you the truth. I mean, there has stuff been leaked out, I think, over the years.
Well, I mean, you know, France opened up their archives.
That happened a few months ago, or last year we talked about that.
Or Finland or somebody.
It was France.
Well, guys, speaking from the perspective of someone who's lived out on the land for... you know, when I was canoeing and stuff like that, I'd eat right off the land and hunt and gather my own materials, and it was just heaven on earth. Like, I loved it. And what I see in the future is that if there's no intervention coming, I'd say within the next 20 years, we'll become our own predators.
Oh, you don't think that's happening already?
No,
yeah.
I think that's what he's
saying. I know in Liberia they're actually killing each other and eating each other. That's happening in Liberia. I'm not sure about other countries, but it's nuts. Like, they're... Yeah,
dude, you're bumming me out, Stefan. Jeez, okay? Come on.
Well, no, I'm an optimist. You know, like, I really think that, heck, okay, look at it as a video game, all right? I'm not sure if you guys play any video games at all, ever.
I do.
But, sorry?
I said I do.
Okay. Let's imagine that you're RTSing something, and all of a sudden you're starting to lose in all your guys that you created, and you spend so much time helping to evolve and upgrade, and all of a sudden they're starting to lose... I think you'd probably let them go to the point where they're just about to destroy themselves, then you'd step in and say, well, wait, no, okay, let's take this off of artificial intelligence and put some real intelligence down there for a change. You know?
Yeah.
Put some of these guys over here, put some of these guys out, separate the chimps from the orangutans and all that stuff, and just kind of clear the place out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that in the future that's probably going to happen. Well, my own people have legends of that, first of all. Like the UFO thing, an extraterrestrial thing, that's not anything new to us as a native culture. I've been hearing stories about that since I was like 5 years old. You know, and I know that within non-native cultures, a lot of people have been hearing that too.
Well, it's coming up more and more, it seems, nowadays. We're hearing more about the subject of UFOs alone. I think, you know, we got to go to break here in a second, but... I think that we are personally on a spiritual cusp, so to say. There is a lot more awareness out there, and that includes UFO phenomena. I'm hearing more and more stuff, you know, and maybe I don't want to say it's all mass hysteria. There's always going to be that evil aspect in there, Stefan, but we're hearing more and more about these, you know, these things going on and people seeing and hearing things. So, yeah, it always seems like it's coming back to the same point, though, that whatever these visitors may be, whether they're evil or they're benevolent, whatever it may be, it always comes back to you're destroying your planet. You're destroying each other. You really need to get your act together down there, or you're going to become, like you just said, Stefan, your own predators. It always seems to come back to that, which I find very interesting.
Well, the other part of that, and I know we have to go to break.
Yeah, no problem.
We're
all right.
The other part of that is that there's a line at which there is a point of no return.
It's a threshold, yeah. You cross over that threshold, forget it.
Right, and so we're destroying, and polluting. And et cetera, et cetera, and using, you know, because eventually, you know,
there's only so much you can do.
More oil, you know, who knows? And And then there's going to be a line at which it snowballs, much like in, I know it's just a movie, but, you know, much like in The Day After Tomorrow.
I thought that movie had a great message.
You reach that point, and then Mother Nature takes over.
It does a global reboot.
And you just cannot stop it. That's a terrible thing to live through if we do.
Well, interesting thing to think about on the break. We're going to take a quick break here. Stefan, hang tight for 1 second with us also.
And I want everybody to go to...
Boy, that was a tangent and a half. Wow.
Yeah, I know. We just went... Everybody... Load up your browsers, dreamingthepyramid.net, while we're on break. And then come back and join us. We're going to talk more about the Great Pyramid and how it is you after this.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasure,
new
planetary
mind
control,
military
cover-up,
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasure, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying
objects,
presidential
assassinations, unidentified objects, presidential assassinations,
pyramids,
fascists,
Out there.
It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
All right. We mentioned at the beginning of the show we were going to be giving away some books tonight. And I was planning on doing that before the break.
But I flubbed up the phone line.
I don't know what happened. I don't think you did. I don't know what happened to things. Something screwed up on the phone line, so the phone system went down. And instead of making a big calamity of it on the air and trying to get it back up and running again, which is absolutely ridiculous, I said, okay, you know what we'll do? You actually kind of saved that one, Doug, because you brought up, well, we could do it by email also if you want.
I like that idea because it includes the podcast listeners.
So, well, yeah, but this is going to probably, most likely if you're listening live, you're going to win this, okay?
Well, that's true.
The two books.
Why don't we do one for the first emailer tonight and another for the first email starting tomorrow at 9 p.m. or something?
Oh, man. Let's just do it for the first. Let's just do it for the first emailer here.
All
period.
Right.
First emailer for right now until we can figure out a little. It was supposed to be on the phone and that didn't work. For the
right.
Broke. So let's just do first emailer here. Keep it simple for right now. Again, the books are Ghost Stories, our Ghost Gettysburg Experience by Biddle and Fedor, and also Orbs Are Dust by Kenny Biddle, our very own Kenny Biddle. You get both these books if you're the first emailer as of right now, 8:40 p.m. Sunday night, October 12, 2008. Fire an email into us, the first person to get it into us, you get this book. Say, I'll email you back with, requesting your address and stuff like that. So if you win, I'll let you know.
So you can email
ScottL@ghostlytalk.com.
I like that plan.
ScottL, S-C-O-T-T-L, @ghostlytalk.com. Send it in right now. First emailer gets these books. We're getting them out the door. So ScottL@ghostlytalk.com. Send that in. We'll keep an eye out for you. Let you know as soon as you email us. I'll let you know as soon as possible.
Be creative. Something like, I want the books, or did I win, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Really cool.
So, now, Stefan, getting back to our conversation, we're talking about Dreaming the Pyramid with Stefan. Whitney, is that how you pronounce it? I always screw this up. Is Stefan Whitney?
Well, my relatives say Whitney.
Whitney.
Okay.
Much better sounding than the way I say it.
It means young spotted eagle tail feather. It comes from Kehiel Whitney in Plains Cree.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, any good conversation about the Great Pyramid has to be, this question always has to be asked in this, any conversation like this. And we all have our ideas, and I want to know what your idea is. And how do you believe the Great Pyramid was built, Stefan?
Man. You know what? I honestly don't know. I wish I could tell you a theory. I don't know. Though I read that French architect's theory that it was built from the inside out.
Okay.
And I've read about theories where they were built from the top down, and I heard about the whole log rolling theory and ET theory, and, you know, I really don't know, guys. I wish I could tell you an answer. I don't know. I don't have an idea.
Well, it's tough. I mean, and that's hence the reason there's so much debate over it, I guess, because, I mean, there's people been fighting over this for years, you know. There's a simple theory that, yeah, look, you know, if you get a bunch of people together, they can do cool stuff like this. Or there's the other theory.
Well, exactly, you know, and really the thing is that also if you get a bunch of cool people together to do stuff let's say you build one of the monuments and you put them in different countries after that, they'll probably find different ways to do the same thing anyway.
Well, yeah, and we mentioned earlier that, you know, we see pyramids all over the world. And one of the other theories is that the Egyptians, or, you know, if you, under the assumption the Egyptians were the first race of people to make a pyramid, the theory goes that they traveled the world And wherever they went, they would mix it up with the folks there, whoever, and they would build pyramids there, or they'd show them how to do it, or something like that, too. So there's those theories that tie in also.
Let's briefly get into something else here, too, is that, now, according to people like Brian O'Leary that was involved with NASA on some of the Apollo moon missions,
yeah,
that there may even be pyramids on Mars.
Well, yeah, and there's a talk of the pyramid on Mars, too.
Not just one, though. There's talk of several now.
Really?
Pyramids have been discovered since 2001. If you type Life Mars on Google Video, you'll I think it's second or first link, and it's about an hour's meeting. Just a fascinating bunch of stuff in there.
Well, why do you
think... Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Stefan. That's cool.
Oh, well, just the point that I'm trying to make is that... if pyramids around the world were designed with pretty much the same purpose for representing us, and if they also exist on Mars, then we have to consider the possibility that pyramids as structures and as symbols might not even be confined to Earth. They might not even be confined to our solar system. They might be interstellar in origin.
Oh, really? Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, what relation do you think that is? And they may have, and that just ties in with the extraterrestrial theory that, you know, we've heard that the pyramids may have been designed and or built by extraterrestrials. And that ties in with it right there. Maybe there were people on Mars at the time that the pyramid was built. Or maybe these people visited from, we're getting out there, I know.
I know, but, you know, in this day and age, I don't think anything shocks people anymore. The last 8 years. You really have to be out there to shock people nowadays. I also think that in case that, let's say that the people did, I really give credit to the ancient Egyptians as well. I think that they did play a part, probably even a large part, in the building of the pyramid. The design, however, itself, I firmly believe for myself that it came from elsewhere and from another time.
Thank you.
That's my opinion.
No, and that's fine, because, I've been saying this for years now, that I do believe that humans built these structures. Because, they're as perfect as a human can build them, as far as the tools they had at the time, or we've heard that they had at the time. They're as perfect as a human can build them. But there's all the theories about the mathematics involved, that there's the idea that they didn't have that kind of mathematics back then. And that's where I kind of think, like, okay, fine, if that's the case, then fine, these guys built it, but maybe somebody else engineered them or designed them, right? So I agree with you on that 100%, Stefan.
Well, let's say that you had the design for the pyramid right now. Let's say that you as a person. Scott?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say that you, Scott, had the design for the pyramid, and you phoned me up and said, Stefan, I want you to build the pyramid, and you emailed, wired, transmitted the designs through my head through this phone, and
okay.
I built it. All right.
All right.
So then anybody looking at the pyramid later on would say that I built it, but I only did what you told me to do and put my own perspective on it, in other words. You know, so you would be the designer, in fact.
Yeah. So,
in that sense, yeah, the pyramid might have been inspired by another I hope it's extraterrestrials. I'm sick and tired of the whole, we got nothing left to do on Earth. There's no continents left to discover. Seriously, no, it's crap. Like, there's no continents left to discover. Oh, yay, I found another newt in South America. Yippee, another tree. Let's get out there.
Well,
I'm tired of this.
Well, no, and I agree. I'll stand by that again. I think that they were designed by somebody else. And that we were commissioned as people to build these monuments,
in the commissioning of building it, it also endears the structure to us, so that we'll take care of it because we had a hand in it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that's the clean your room theory. You know, if you're put in charge of cleaning your room, right, as a kid. You're supposed to then take pride in having a clean room and see the obvious benefits and keeping it maintained. Now, that doesn't always stick the first few, years of doing it, but then eventually you're like, wow, things are much more organized and better. So,
hope you haven't been spying on my apartment lately.
So it takes a while to stick. Hey, why were you shown this in your dream or in your experience?
Man, I get asked this a lot. they say, do you think you had a past life there? And if I was
right.
there in a past life, I reckon I was some sort of a scribe or something.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't have any direct conscious memories of Egypt. Like I said, everything came to me through dreams, or maybe I wasn't there at all.
Did it have to do with the person who was by your side, or is that someone you knew or know or just never saw before or again, the 7 foot tall?
This is probably going to shock some people.
Yay!
Throughout my interactions with these beings in my dreams, they always portrayed the energy of a friend and a lover.
Okay.
And this is the other thing that's going to probably, it might not shock people, I'm going to say it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They were always androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, now just for the record, I'm heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any biases or anything against homosexuality or lesbianism or anything like that.
Mm.
But to me, these beings always had a very strong androgynous nature, and that it seemed like they could almost shift between going back and forth to one side and the other. And when they were with me, their teaching was more like if you took the love of a parent, a friend, a lover, a child, a grandparent, somebody whose life you just saved, somebody who saved your life, and put that all into one being, that's the kind of love that I think they have. The good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all of them do, but the ones that I interacted with.
They could shift back and forth, you said?
Yeah, hey, depending on their will.
What a party that would be, huh?
Well, it would make for really interesting Valentine's Day celebrations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again,
then I think it would be dreaming the period.
In that case.
Well, yeah, you know, so I think we're in a really crucial time period right now in the world. There's a lot of crap going on for sure, but I think we'll pull out of it, and there's probably going to be a really cool bunch of surprises happening our way, stuff that's just going to seem surreal and just take us on a really wild ride, and I welcome it.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, there's a big shakeup in the United States, obviously, and the, you know, politically with the election, et cetera. And then there's also an election in Canada. Wow, that's only a few days away now, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Well, like there's the week. Day after tomorrow.
Yeah, so I knew it was like really, really soon. So, so that's happening. I mean, that's like the, you know, two of the three, you know, countries in North America are having, you know, huge politics go on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think NASA is also launching a Discovery for the last time on the 14th as well.
Oh, wow.
Oh, maybe it's off the World Open Access Day.
Maybe
across the world.
The 14th of October, you said.
Yep. I think they're doing it. I think they're launching at 7 a.m. or 7:10.
Wow. Really? See, I don't even keep up on that. You know, I used to keep up on that so much, but now I don't.
They even have a channel on TV.
I don't watch it. No,
they
don't. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. I'm not trying to get off the subject, but no, I used to watch the NASA channel.
Yeah.
Okay, the NASA channel was pretty hilarious back in the day. Because you turn on the NASA channel, right, and all it would be usually was a satellite looking down on the Earth, which in and of itself is pretty cool, right? Like, whoa, look at that. There's the Earth, right? But when it's all you see for 7 hours straight.
Yeah.
You kind of go insane.
You're like, right? Okay, there was a bit of a lack of programming.
Well, what I used to, nothing against the NASA channel people, okay? But I used
yep,
to.
Yep, Earth on, is still there. Yeah, I'll check again in an hour.
I used to put on the NASA channel when I was in college and I needed to take a nap during the afternoon before work at nighttime. I would put on the NASA channel because it had this hum under it all the time, right?
Oh, wow.
And all you'd hear, and all you'd hear is like, you know, Breaker 19, oh, yeah, there's the Earth. Cool. All right, great. Yeah, Houston, there's the Earth again. Great, cool. And you'd hear that. And for some reason, those two things put together just would knock me right out. Right? They would just totally shut me down. So I would turn on the NASA channel, and that's, you know, yeah, I'm sorry. They don't really have, like, you know, it isn't quite as exciting as we. Maybe that's why I don't watch it no more. But that's my experience of the NASA channel. One other question.
Well,
go ahead, Stefan.
My understanding is that NASA has quite a bit of inner conflict as well, even within its own ranks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're kind of shifting between going back and forth between a almost like a military-owned agency and a civilian agency as they originally started out as.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how they evolve as well and come to deal with all this. We're coming at a crossroads in every area I can think of.
Well, one thing I'm thinking of... Well, go ahead, Doug.
Does 2012 have any significance then? I mean, I know everybody talks about the Mayan calendar, end of the Mayan calendar. Of course, I saw a cartoon the other day, which was really, really cute. The circle, it's a big circle, the Mayan calendar, and it's a stone. And they the guy like had a chisel and a hammer or whatever, and another guy walks up to him and says, "Why does it end in 2012?" And he goes, "I ran out of stone." I thought that was really cute. But is there any significance to that either in the meanings of the pyramids or in your own belief system or anything, Stefan?
It's really interesting because our own elders in Saskatchewan and Alberta tell of a time when, prior to colonization, there used to be huge spiritual conferences going down in Teotihuacan and also in the Yucatan Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And these people from different tribes would go off every few years and they would converge down in those places. I'm talking as far as north as Alaska and as far south as Venezuela.
Wow.
Yeah, there used to be huge trails. Like a lot of people think that the natives just used to stick to their own little areas. Baloney. They used to travel all over the place. Heck, they even went across to Polynesia in the canoes, and there used to be trade going back and forth between the Pacific.
And I thought it was difficult just to get to, like, you know, Illinois for the conference coming up.
Well, I mean, look at me. Like, I canoed for almost 9,000 kilometers, once alone and once with four other people.
Yeah,
you know, and it's really no big deal because you just take it day by day and you take it as journey as it is. But anyways, they tell of a time when we used to do that, and so a lot of the knowledge of our people resides down there as well. And what I think 2012 represents to me personally is a great big birthday party for our planet, and the guests haven't really arrived yet.
Ah.
In order to arrive first, they have to tell us that they're coming. Otherwise, they'll just scare the crap out of us.
Well, you know, we've heard so much about 2012. You know, up until recent, it's always been mixed, but it always seemed like it was a lot more, the world is going to end
in
2012.
Well, that's, you know.
But the more we get into this and the closer we seem to get, the more people, you know, who have some, I guess you could say they have some authority on this, say, look, okay, now the world isn't going to end. There may be some changes. It may be a spiritual awakening for us. Things may be different, but it's going to be a positive thing, too. You know, it may be negative for some people. I don't know. Maybe, you know, it just depends on who you are, right? But there may be, I'm convinced that there's going to be some kind of change. It may just be, you know, a slight change. It might not be some huge worldwide, you know, shift, you know, in thought and function. And it could be just a small thing, too.
Maybe that's the day the dollar finally becomes equal to the peso.
No, yeah.
Well, $1 equal 1 peso.
We're on our way.
We're on our way. We're getting there.
You better buy stocks and tacos, guys.
Yeah. No. We only got a couple minutes here, Stefan, unfortunately. I'm just wondering, you know, I think we may have touched on this, you know, a couple times here throughout the hour, but, you know, this is some pretty wild ideas we talked about here for the last hour. I'm wondering, you know.
And this is just touching the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm wondering other people. I mean, I'm wondering what other people's reactions were to these ideas when you present this idea to people.
Oh, did you get any men in black, or did people shun you? I mean, what happened when you finally told everyone, hey, look, this is what I think's up?
Well, during the time that I was writing it as a book when I was 25, when I was 27, I also started sharing the story in a fashion that involved oral storytelling through a series of 40 hand-painted cards. And these are pretty large cards, 11 by 17 inches.
Wow.
And I would go throughout, actually I shared quite a bit through Virginia, Carolinas, Washington, New York, all throughout Canada. And the reception by pretty much, I'd say, over 80% of the people was extremely positive. And I probably shared it with over 3,000 people back then. And the reason why I did it back then in that format was I wanted to do it under the radar just to gauge what public reaction was first before I went public with it.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a few people that have really said that they don't resonate at all with this. But then I have to look back at my own past, and I have to say that prior to 1991, I probably would have had the same thing. I wasn't ready for it.
And even so,
maybe I am deluding myself. I can't say that I have the truth regarding this, but it provides another perspective that makes the pyramid relevant to us personally rather than just a stone cold structure in front of us.
Well, this is one thing that's a fact, period. When you look at the structure of the Great Pyramid, I don't care what all the arguments, whatever, or whatever it may be, there was whoever built it or whoever designed it or whatever, it was a lot of work. It was a monumental task.
Yeah, they
that
didn't,
is a fact.
They didn't push a button and have it just go ding, 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 ding,
ding. No, it was a monumental task. There
it
had to
be. It would still be a monumental task today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There would. So I think there would have to be a monumental reason to build a structure like that.
Scott, you nailed it right on the head of that proverbial nail.
Yeah, that's a fact. There's no other way around it. You can't argue that. You know what? Now the guts of it and the peanut butter and jelly of it. Yeah, it's a totally different. You know, there's a lot of argument to do in there, and they'll be arguing for the next century about it. But that those two things they're married together. A monumental structure. It had to be built for a monumental reason.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this may be you may be right on, Stefan. That this is, you know, this is us. We are this is us as people, a representation of the human being, in a stone structure based on mathematics and all the things that we talked about in the last hour. You know, I think it's fascinating. I think it's an amazing idea.
It's got it all. It's got complexity. It's got simplicity. It's got beauty. It's got art. It's got a lot of things in it. Mathematics,
yep.
Like you said. It's got it all in it, the Great Pyramid.
Well, let me allow you to say this, guys.
Yeah.
If I did strike pay dirt on this and strike some gold, well, I would rather that people take the ideas, refine them, change them, dissect them apart, and work on their own stuff so that they can re-release it in their own manner so that I can grow with it as well.
Absolutely.
I want to grow with this as well, so, you know. Take it and just run with it. See where it leads you.
Yeah, exactly. Stefan, hang on the line. We are unfortunately at the end of the show. We could talk all night about this. I know.
Yeah,
Tell me about it.
But hang on the line.
Yeah, hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet.
But we do have to thank you, Stefan.
Thank you, Stefan.
The website is www.dreamingthepyramid.net.
Oh, shut up, everybody.
We have to thank Stefan for coming on Ghostly Talk.
I swear to God I heard period. I swear.
We'll play the archive.
Well, you know what? We're going to.
We have to thank Karen Tate, www.karentate.net, karentate.com, for coming online and talking with us tonight.
Carly Rose, we got to thank Carly Rose.
Oh, absolutely, Carly
really
Rose.
Really good talking to her for
we
the first time.
We have to congratulate somebody. Yes, somebody did win the book. TJ.
I guess I can throw that out there, within seconds. Thanks, guys, for taking part of this. We got a whole bunch of emails. But the winner was Tom Waltz.
Excellent.
That's all I'm going to say.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
I was going to start reading the address.
Yeah, it's
that
a good thing you
fun. That would have been fun, yeah.
I have to thank everybody for listening to Ghostly Talk from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday nights. And, of course, our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com. And all the links that you've heard about in the show
today are going
to be up there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will be back live
from the Michigan
Sunday.
Michigan Paranormal Conference. We'll be broadcasting the show live from the Garden City Historical Museum there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So try and either come to Garden City or if you can't do that, definitely tune in. It'll be a first like 3 hour long live broadcast.
We'll see
how bad we do.
Yeah.
Everybody, I've been Doug.
I've been Scott L.
I'm Amber.
We'll talk to you live next week.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.